In fact, our subject this morning is about the church, the body of Christ. Okay? And we're going to be looking at passages of Scripture that remind us that we together are in the body of Christ, and we've been put together in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. The point which we're going to discuss is the fact that when you trusted Jesus as your Savior, you were not only brought into relationship with Jesus Christ and you were joined to Christ, but you were also put in the body of Christ. We're in the body of Christ together. And we're going to be talking about this for a little bit this morning here for a while. But you know, one of the things that when I got thinking about the fact that we together are in the body of Christ, the Lord has brought us together as a church family in a local church, I thought about the fact that there are so many religions in the world who do not have a personal God. Now, this is important. Almost every religion in the world has some kind of God, small G-O-D. But their gods aren't personal gods. Our God is a personal God. People who follow in other religions, most of them never know where they stand in relationship to their gods. But we as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a God who wants to relate to us. We have a God that we can talk to. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love, the Lord says, and with loving kindness I have drawn you. And I'm not sure when each of you trusted Christ as your Savior, but whenever you were born again, and I was born again quite a number of years ago, probably around age 6, the Lord was drawing me to Himself. And that's how He works. We have a personal God who loves us very much. And with regards to the other religions of the world, they're constantly sacrificing to their gods. And you see the false gods that were mentioned in the Old Testament Scriptures in the nations around Israel. In fact, some of them actually took their newborn babies and threw them into a furnace and offered them to their gods. That's not how the true and living God is. People in non-Christian religions sacrifice to their gods, but our God sacrificed for us, didn't He? He loves us very much, and He went to the cross for us, and He knows our heart condition. And when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, He forgives you of your sin, and He brings you in relationship to Himself and relationship to one another in the body of Christ, as we just heard sung together. We have an awesome God and Savior. And when we were saved, again, we were united to Jesus Christ, but we were brought together in the church, the body of Christ or the family of God. Now, let's ask ourselves a question real quickly. How is the church pictured in the Word of God? Well, the Bible gives us a number of word pictures which tell us what the church is really all about. The universal church is, of course, made up of all true believers in Jesus Christ everywhere in the world. But it's also made up of the believers in Jesus Christ from the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, until Christ comes back again at the rapture. Now, God always was bringing people to Himself, and He primarily worked through the nation of Israel in the Old Testament scriptures, Old Testament times. But after Christ died and rose again, we have the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. We have something new and unique. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling those who trust Christ as their Savior, and He brings us together into the family of God. And so we have these pictures of the church given in the New Testament. Now, the first one I'd like for us to look at, again, is in Romans 12. And I'm going to read it nice and slow. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, there are many parts to our bodies. We have arms, we have hands, we have legs, we have feet. All right? For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, believers, being many, are one body in Christ, individually members one of another. So we who are here this morning, we belong to one another in the family of God. And God wants us to, right, pray for one another, take care of one another. And we'll mention these just briefly at the very end of the message. But we have been brought together not only in relationship to our God, but in relationship to one another in the family of God. So that we can truly say, Christians on earth are the hands, the feet, the tongues of Jesus Christ. God wants us to be active in our world, as Don prayed this morning. He wants us to be active in our world, not only when we're here together, but as we go outside this time of coming together as the body of Christ, we are representatives of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, now remember, we are the body of Christ. There's many of us, but there's a oneness to the body of Christ. And when we leave from a time of worship like this, we are actually, and I was concentrating on this week, and Lord really touched my heart. We are representatives of Jesus Christ. So let's say you work in an office somewhere. You are Christ's representative there because you're part of the body of Christ. And we're going to talk about the fact that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. There are speaking gifts and there are serving gifts. And some people will say, well, you know, I'm not real good at speaking and communicating things. You may be surprised. I think there's a lot of people in the body of Christ who have the ability to teach and handle the Word of God who don't do it because they feel, well, I'm not really good at speaking, talking, communicating. You might be surprised. Please remember I said that. So there's speaking gifts that God gives to the church, to the body of Christ, and there's serving gifts. And both kinds are in the body of Christ. But again, we are the body of Christ. He is the head of the church. He's the head. We get our direction from Him. Secondly, the church is likened unto a spiritual building. And that's in Ephesians 2:19-22. In this book in which we just heard sung a lot of phrases. There is one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, as it was just sung for us. Well, we're going to go to chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 19, where it says, "Now therefore you, believers, are no longer strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints, and members together of the household of God, having been built," here you go, "a spiritual building, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building," there it is again, the church, the body of Christ is likened to a building, "in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple of the Lord," or in the Lord, "in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So this is beautiful. In other words, we who are here this morning, the Lord's the one who has brought us together. And you may be new to the fellowship. You may have been here a number of years. But the Lord is the one who brought us together. And we're together in the family of God. We are a spiritual building together. And when you think of a building, I like to think of certain kinds of buildings. Our home is brick. And a lot of buildings are brick buildings. And so there are these brick stones that are put in to build a building. Well, the Apostle Peter said, we as believers are living stones being built up into a spiritual house. And so we're all important in the family of God. We're all part of what God has brought together. And He has placed His Holy Spirit within us as individuals, but within us as a church. These are very, very important truths, very important truths. There's a Indonesian church up on 3040. In fact, they're going to be moving, but it's an Indonesian church, and the name of their church was Living Stones, or still is, Living Stones Indonesian Church. They're living stones. They're believers who are like stones in the building that God is doing. And you see, God is building His church. And two Sundays ago, right after one of our morning services, a young man came and accepted Christ as his Savior, and he was, again, brought into the family of God. He became a living stone. part of the spiritual building. The third one is, the third picture in the New Testament is of the church, that's us, being called the bride of Christ. There's a lot of references we could look at. If you want to just glance at Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, this is interesting. It really is. We as a group of believers in Jesus Christ, all believers are called the bride of Christ. Revelation chapter 19 verse 7, and the Apostle John says, I heard the voice of a great multitude. Verse 7, he comes down and says, this is what he heard. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and it has been granted to her to be robed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So this is a beautiful picture of the fact that there's going to be a day coming when we're going to go to, and I know you enjoy this, wedding ceremonies. I love to go to weddings. I love to have weddings. And it's a joy to be with a couple who's getting married before God and starting out a new family and a new life together. It's just a joyous occasion. There's something about it. Well, there's going to be a wedding in heaven, and we're going to be there, and we're going to be the bride. And Christ is going to be the groom. There will be an official marriage supper of the Lamb. And wow, we are looking forward to this marriage supper of the Lamb, as is stated in the book of Revelation. One big, awesome wedding ceremony in heaven. And heaven's going to be an awesome place. I still remember a man in New York. Death is hard on any family. Doesn't matter how old the person is in the family. When they die, there's something about it. They're leaving, and they're not being here anymore. But you know, this man used to say, I had family members who died, and I miss them dearly. But listen, they're doing real good up there. They're really doing real good. And he used to say, he'd get a little sarcastic, but he used to say, heaven's not that bad a place. And we know that to be true. It's a glorious place. And someday we're going to be up there together, right? Because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, and we are going to be there. Now, it's very interesting that when you talk about the importance of the church, the body of Christ, we who are gathered here this morning, we're a local church, okay? We're the body of Christ. It's very important to understand, I know what I'm saying here, the importance of the local church. There are multitudes of people in our world today who do not understand the importance of the local church. In fact, the local church or churches can be very severely criticized. And there are reasons for this. We say this many times. The church is not perfect, right? Because we're not perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect church. One of the things you do in premarital counseling is you encourage the couple to pray for one another after they're married, not only before they're married, but after they're married, and you remind them to get over some of the myths of marriage, to remind themselves that your future spouse is not perfect. He's not perfect. She's not perfect. Doesn't mean they won't do well together. It just means we're not perfect. And so we're not perfect as individuals in the body of Christ. But that's why the Lord wants us to work together and to serve together so that we in turn might be good representatives of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the importance of the church comes out of the fact that Jesus Christ created the church. In other words, he didn't just save us and say, okay, now you're a Christian, and go your separate ways. He said, no, I want you to be together in the body of Christ. I want you to love one another and care for one another. Tony Evans said this, and I like what he said. And this is a quote out of his theology book. Tony Evans says, in God's view, the church is the most important organization or institute on earth. Repeat. In God's view, the church is the most important organism or institution on the earth. And the reason is because the church, and only the church, has been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to be His representative agency, not only throughout history, but in the world today. Does that make sense? Church is very... Now, listen, let's be careful here. We understand that there are even people who know Christ as Savior who do not value the coming together as we have this morning, of being together in the body of Christ. But I believe Tony Evans is right on target when he says the most important organism, and that's because we're the church is the people, we are a living organism, is the most important organism on the earth. Now, the world doesn't recognize this, but I'll tell you when they're going to recognize it. After you're gone. After we're raptured up to meet the Lord in the air. What's going to happen on the earth when there's no longer people who go to Washington, D.C. and march for life, rather than having only people who go to Washington, D.C. and march for death? Wow. See, Christians will be taken out of this world. All Christians at the beginning of the tribulation period. What's this world going to be like? Wow. Something to really think about. So again, our lost world will not appreciate the church, the body of Christ, until we're gone. And then people who want to pass laws that are harmful to people and do all kinds of things in that vein, it's going to be very difficult. Our one of our responsibilities as believers, of course, is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who do not know Christ. You know the words very carefully, the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we are to constantly to be looking out for those who do not know Christ as Savior and see if God wants to use us to tell someone else about Jesus Christ. Now, when you think of the responsibilities that we have as believers in the church, the body of Christ, you could use an acrostic like the word wife. Okay? Here's our four basic responsibilities. Worship, what we're doing now. We're coming together. We're singing praise to the Lord. We're honoring Him. We're rejoicing in His presence. We're honoring His Word. We look at His Word. We give our gifts to Him. This is worship time. I would stand for instruction. The New Testament is very clear that God wanted His people to be learning His Word together. Even in the Old Testament, God rebuked the people of Israel because, and this phrase is used in the Old, they didn't have any teaching priests. The priests were going through a lot of motions and different things, but they weren't teaching people out of the, at that time they had certainly the first five books of the Bible, the law of Moses. And the Lord rebukes Israel. Where are the teaching priests? Where are the priests who are teaching the people how to live and please their God? Worship, instruction. F stands for fellowship. Very important that we spend time together. We share the life of Christ together. That's what fellowship means, to share in common. And lastly, of course, which I just mentioned, evangelism. Now, very quickly, if you'll go with me to Matthew 16. Remember, I mentioned the fact that Tony Evans said that one of the reasons the church is important is because it was established by God. God wants us to meet together in the church, the body of Christ, meeting together and worshiping Him, honoring Him, fellowshipping together. But Matthew chapter 16 gives us the promise of the church from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, by the way, is the first mention of the word church in the Bible. And anytime you have a first mention of something in the Bible, it's very, very important. Well, this is the first time the word church is used in the Bible, where Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, we'll pick it up at verse 17. Jesus answered and said to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." What was revealed to him? Well, he asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And some said, well, some people think you're John the Baptist, some people think you're Elijah, some people think you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Jesus said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Verse 16, Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the promised Christ of the Old Testament. You are the Messiah of Israel. You are the one, the chosen one, the anointed one by the Father in heaven. And we see, Jesus, that you are the anointed one. And then Jesus commends Peter and says that you were given this knowledge by my Father in heaven. Now, verse 18, and I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. Why is the church important? Because it was founded by Jesus Christ. You know, I keep looking at these things and I'm saying, this is so awesome. We're here together this morning because of Jesus. You wouldn't be here. I wouldn't even know you. I just wouldn't know you if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that brought us together in the family of God. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the word for church, the Greek word is ekklesia. It means called out ones. It means an assembly of people. And so the Lord has called us out of the world. You see, there are a lot of people sleeping in this morning. There are a lot of people who are not here to worship. There are a lot of people doing a whole lot of things. But I'll tell you what, God's people, those who really know Christ as Savior, normally speaking, are those who gather together in the body of Christ and worship the Lord. Because we have been called out of the world. You may be the only Christian on your street or in your apartment complex. Maybe, I said. Now, I'm not saying that you have to go to church in order to be a Christian. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, the church is comprised of people who've been called out of the masses of the human family and brought into relationship with himself and brought together in the body of Christ. The church is comprised of people. It's not a building. But it's so hard for some people to think this way. They think in relationship to the fact that this is the church, this building structure. The early Christians didn't have church buildings. They met in homes. They met in other places where they gathered together as the church. But there's a sense in which we don't go to church. We are the church. Very important to understand that. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Very quickly, the rock, of course, refers to that statement that Peter made. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus Christ then becomes the foundation of the church. Very important. And I like that phrase where Jesus talked about the fact that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. In other words, the church will always be in existence until Jesus comes back again. Now, there may be persecution of the church. Believers may die under persecution. There may be a lot of things that happen to try to hinder Christians from living together, rather worshiping God together. But Satan will not prevail against the church. In fact, he said the gates of hell. The gates in biblical times were the gates of the city. And at the gates of cities in the days around the time of the writing of the New Testament letters, the gates of the city were places where the leaders of the city would gather together and that would conduct the city's business. They were places actually of authority. And Jesus was saying the authority of Satan or Satan's authority will not prevail against the church. You know, it's another reminder of the fact that what happens in our world is actually happening under the invisible things that we cannot see. In other words, we say it this way. The invisible and spiritual world controls the visible and physical world. Repeat. The invisible and spiritual world controls the visible and physical world. And, of course, Paul said this in Ephesians 6 where he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this age. So yes, there are satanic forces who would love to disrupt churches, close the gospel out, do all kinds of things. But wait a minute. I know you know this. Greater is he that is in you than Who's more powerful? Our Lord. Absolutely, yes. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Very important. The church is important because it was established by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said, by the way, I'm just going to touch on this. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys refer to the access. Jesus was saying to the disciples, I'm going to give you the resources so that you can spread the gospel and people can come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lastly, I want for us to think together of the fact of this truth that is vital with regards to understanding the church, and that is the fact that we are the body of Christ. We are a living organism. And the implications of this are enormous, that the church is the people and not just a building. In fact, in the New Testament, the word church, again, is used in two ways. It refers to the universal church composed of all believers in Jesus Christ. So this morning, you know, stop and think about this. There's other churches worshiping now this morning, and some of them have some doctrines that we may not hold to, but if they preach about Jesus and they tell people Jesus is the only Savior, and if they honor the Word of God and people come to faith in Christ, there may be some things, see, keep this in mind, that we might not agree with. But if they're truly saved and they're in another church, we're together in the body of Christ. Very important. Very important. That's why we're going to have this meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. You're going to enjoy it. There will be those from other churches. I remember first time I visited, I was raised in a church where they had the concept of the church being the body of Christ. And I remember the first time I was in my teens, and our youth leaders used to tell us, you know, there are churches around here, especially in the Northeast. There's churches around here that don't preach the gospel. And we'd say, what do? Well, they read from the Reader's Digest. Well, I can do that at home. They really do. They give lessons in psychology. I visited with a friend a church which was called Liberal Theology. When we went out, we started discussing. I said, I don't remember him mentioning God. And my friend said, well, you know, he mentioned God. Definitely, they didn't have this book open. And they're churches. However, there are churches who, again, believe things that may be different from the parts of the faith that we believe in certain areas. But if they really know Christ as Savior, they are our brothers and our sisters in Christ. So there is the universal church, and we have been brought into the body of Christ. I guess you better look at one more verse with me. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Because I want you to remember this, that you and I have been brought together. This is why we care for one another. We come to church and we're not just sitting in a meeting. We belong to each other. And we should be caring for one another. We should be asking, how are you doing? Can I pray for you? Let's get together. Let's talk on the phone. Let's go share a meal together. We are together in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's called Spirit baptism. Two kinds of baptism in Scripture, water baptism and Spirit baptism. Everybody has experienced Spirit baptism if they're saved. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit puts you in a spiritual family, the family of God. Okay? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, it says in the New King James, or to partake of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. So there's the universal church and there is the local church. And what we've been trying to say together is the fact that the body of Christ is a group of people who are banded together to do the work of God. And that's why God has brought us together. Most of the time in the New Testament when the word church is used, it's used of a local church, a particular group of people organized in a very specific way, accepting the Bible as the Word of God, accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. In other words, the local church is God's means of accomplishing His work on the earth. And that's why from time to time we will be saying, now here's things we could really be doing for the Lord. And we'll share some more of these in 2017. Here's some things that we can be doing for the Lord together. Well, lastly, I just want to mention the three aspects. Romans 12 was the passage that was read for us this morning. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And I just want to mention, just very briefly, the three aspects or three truths which must be understood so that we can function together as a church in a very healthy way. The three truths. The first one is found in, and Don sang this morning, the group sang this morning. I'm sorry, it's Ephesians 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians 4. I said one more verse, but it's going to be more than one verse. Ephesians 4, 3 and 4. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called into one hope of your calling. And then he goes on, he says, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Okay? So the point is, the first truth we understand is the body of Christ has been brought into unity. God wants to see in our fellowship unity. And this unity is produced by the Holy Spirit. It is a unity of the common life of Christ. We share together. Why do we know each other? Because of Jesus. I wouldn't probably know almost all of you if it were not for Jesus. But He brought us together in the family of God. And this unity is the unity of a common life given to us because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, when a man or a woman trusts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he or she becomes with other believers together, sharing the unity of the Spirit. And you'll notice, now this, stay with me on this for just a minute. Each of us are given a responsibility in verse 3 to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And it's sad. It's sad when you hear of a church where they're at each other's throats. A church where people don't love each other, don't care for each other. And the Lord says, we, each of us, are responsible to make sure we have unity in our church. And woe be to the person who tries to disrupt the unity of the body of Christ. That's what the New Testament tells us. In fact, the non-Christians used to write in the days of the Roman Empire. They used to write about the Christians because this group was so different. There were Roman officials and there were slaves. And there were people in poverty, and there were people who were very wealthy, and they were all together in this body of Christ. And Roman officials and Roman leaders would look at this and say, man, this thing's really different, this group of people. In fact, they wrote, and this is a direct quote, look at the life of these people. Look how they love one another. Wow, it's powerful. Unity. The Lord wants to see unity in the body of Christ. Secondly, He wants us to understand that there is diversity. While believers in Jesus Christ are one in the Spirit, we're not all the same. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you see we've been all given different spiritual gifts. We're just not all the same. Very important. There's so many things in the Word of God in relationship to this. Remember the fact that there is a diversity in the body of Christ. And just as every part of the physical body is essential to its proper functioning, so every spiritual gift is necessary. We talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning. Not every believer has the spiritual gift of evangelism. But God does want us, all of us, from time to time, to speak for Jesus and to lift Him up. But some people have the spiritual gift of evangelism, and they can talk to people and say, hey, by the way, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Oh, you haven't? I want to show you how you can know the Lord. Okay? So there is diversity in the body of Christ, different gifts, and the third thing is that there's interdependence. There are the three. Unity, diversity, and interdependence. In other words, we need each other. Now, I realize it's easy for people to, I've heard this phrase, I don't know if it's a good phrase or not, fall through the cracks. It's a pretty bad floor if somebody can fall through the cracks. That's a bad floor. But sometimes people fall through the cracks. But that shouldn't be when someone is missing from the fellowship, when somebody's not well. We need to be alert. 1 Corinthians 12:21, we're talking about interdependence. We need each other. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We are all individually members one of another, Romans chapter 12, verse 5, which we just read. Let me give you this quickly and we'll close in prayer very quickly. Interdependence. A number of years ago at the Chicago Kent College of Law, the highest ranking student in the class was a blind man named Overton. And when he received his honor on the platform at graduation time, he insisted that half the credit should go to his friend, and I can't pronounce the guy's name, let's just call him Mr. K. They had met one another in college. Now, Mr. K was an armless man, and he guided the blind man, Overton, down a flight of stairs. Well, ever since that first acquaintance, they developed a friendship together and became a beautiful example of interdependence. The blind man carried the books of the armless man and read aloud to him when they studied together. So the individual deficiency of each was compensated by the other. In fact, when they graduated, they went into law practice together. Interdependence. It's wonderful that we can be together here this morning. It's wonderful that we can enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful that we can sing together and know that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought us together. In fact, it's the Holy Spirit who put us together in the body of Christ. I want you to leave thinking about the fact that the church is vitally important to God and should be to us. We are the body of Christ. And when we go out from here today, you and I, me too, we'll be representing Jesus because we belong to Him. He's the head of the church. We're the body. And you're very, very, very valuable to God. Let's pray together.